It's our joy and our privilege to welcome Rosemary and Rick Lane to our service today. Rick is pastor of the Amazing Horse Ministry. He shared a good bit of his testimony this morning in Sunday school. There's many amazing things about the Amazing Horse Ministry. The horses are amazing. They do an amazing work. But God has done an amazing thing in Rick Lane to give him this ministry and to make him an effective evangelist for our Lord Jesus. He's going to come and share the word now, and we welcome you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your time and your effort to be here.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back this morning. I think about you guys often and wonder how you're doing. I was excited when Brother Darrell sent me a text and asked me to come. And again, we want to thank you guys for your prayers and your support. And I want to get right into the message this morning. If you have your Bibles, my text this morning is going to be from Luke chapter 19. We'll read Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and then we will pray. I'm not really going to be teaching out of this text this morning. I just want to use it to kind of get us started what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I think what I'm going to share this morning is going to be interesting. It will definitely be different, okay? But Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1, this is a familiar story. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to pass, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying," listen to this, guys, "he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." That really struck at me this morning when I read that at home. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham." And here's the key verse. I started to just read this one verse. This is the key verse. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who were lost." Okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you again for life, and thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for allowing us to be here in your house today. And I thank you, Lord, so much for the gift of salvation. I thank you so much, Lord, that over the process of time, like Brother Darrell said, in your perfect timing, you came to me and you saved me and you changed my life, literally. And you're still changing my life every day. You're still teaching me and showing me and growing me. And I thank you for that so much. Father, I thank you for the things that you have done through the Amazing Horse Ministries. And I give you all the glory for that, Lord. And I thank you that you have taught me so many life lessons through the simple things of life. And I thank you for the things that you have shown me and taught me through horses. And I'm able to relate those things and share the gospel. So today, as always, Holy Spirit, I ask you to please speak through me. I pray that this message would be educational. I pray that it will be challenging and life-changing for us all. In Christ's name, amen. One of the things I've always loved about doing horse ministry and still do is, it's amazing. I do a lot of what I call life lessons from a horse. So today I'm going to bring you a life lesson from a horse that I really enjoy. I think will be challenging. And I want to talk to you today on the subject of becoming God's search and rescue people. You know, in that scripture, it said that Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I, as born again Christian people, that is both our duty and our privilege as Christian people. That should be an everyday part of our life. Even if you're not called to full-time evangelism and all that kind of stuff, all of us are ambassadors for Christ, and we all have the privilege and the duty of trying to reach out to lost people. We all need to, I love that verse where it said, like they said, how dare they? He's going to go eat with sinners. Well, that's how you reach sinners. You have to go to where sinners are, and you have to become friends with those people and reach out to those people and learn how to talk to them and relate to them so that you can reach people for the gospel. So I want to use a horse today, and I've titled this thing, The Qualifications of a Search and Rescue Horse. So several years ago, I got a call over in Brooks County. They wanted me to be on a search and rescue team, which it never came about. They wanted me to be one of the horse people to go out and search for, you know, when planes crash in the woods and people are lost and all those type things. And I was excited about that, but it never developed. But I'm more excited about the fact that God uses me and he uses you guys as search and rescue for people, okay? That is our goal, is to become search and rescue people. So I want to talk about two different horses today. It's probably been a long time since you heard somebody stand in a pulpit and talk about horses and relate it to the gospel, but I think you'll enjoy it today. I always marvel at the things that God shows me through animals. Used to be I did a lot of, I grew up hunting. That's all I ever knew. We've raised hundreds of hunting dogs. And years ago, God used to really speak to me using dogs, and I've shared the gospel with a lot of people through relating it to hunting dogs. So now, mainly, I use horses. But I want to talk about what it means to be a good search and rescue horse. And remember, as we're doing this, just think about life. Think about your life as an individual Christian. Think about this church as a body and how all this relates to our Christian life and our Christian service, okay? So one of the first things, and I hit on this briefly in Sunday school this morning, is called hooking up with a horse. If a horse is going to be a good search and rescue horse, one of the main things that horse has to do, which is a picture of the gospel, he has to hook up with his master or his rider, okay? And I wrote it down so I could try to say it right to explain to you what it means if you've never heard that term hooking up with a horse. The term hookup is a process in which the moving of a horse's feet, you put him in a big round pen, it's called a round pen, about the size of this room, and you make him gallop around in a circle. So it's a process in which the moving of a horse's feet in a certain direction eventually produces an incredible bond known as the hookup between the horse and his rider. When you put a horse, any horse, in a pen, you take him out of a herd, and you put that horse in that pen and you get in there with him, you become a herd animal to that horse. Horses are herd-bound animals. They're herd-minded animals. And all they know is horse herd language. So you have to learn that language and how to relate to that. But when you put that horse in that pen and you ask him to move his feet, you get in the center of the pen, you may have a little stick or a little whip in your hand, but you never touch the horse. You're not out to hurt the horse at all. You're out to help that horse, to put him through processes that's going to turn on his brain and help him think and help him to become the horse that God would have him to be. Y'all come on in. Got a family coming in. So when you do this, y'all come on in and make yourself at home. When you put that horse in that pen, your first goal is to get him moving in one direction without jumping the fence, okay? A horse can be very nice. It's called ground manners. A horse can have excellent ground manners, but when you put him under pressure, they can be just like people and they can come unglued, okay? I shared that when I was younger. I was that way myself. I was a real nice guy till I got under pressure. So you want to get that horse in that pen and you point and you kind of shake that stick and you point. You kind of get him moving his feet, and your goal is to get him going in one direction around that pen. And you never let that horse turn his back on you. Then you get him going in the other direction. This sounds crazy, but it's a process that you put that horse through. It's called moving his feet that will turn on his brain. And some horses will do it the first time. They'll do it great. Other horses may attack you. They may try to jump the fence. When you put them under pressure, that horse can do anything, all right? But your goal is simply to get him moving his feet in one direction. And you're staring at his hip. My friend calls it squeezing the banana. You get behind that horse, as crazy as it sounds, and you stare at his hip, and he'll start running in circles. And then all of a sudden, you can take a step backwards, and you release the mental pressure off of that horse. And eventually, that horse will slam on brakes. He'll turn, and he'll face you, and he'll lock eyes with you, and that's called getting his eye. And when that horse gives you his eye, he's giving you his heart. And he's saying, you are the leader of the herd. Because the one horse that makes the other horse move his feet is the boss. And folks that just came in, welcome. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. I want to tell you, my name is Rick Lane. I'm the pastor of the Amazing Horse Ministries. I'm just filling in today. So I'm a horse preacher, so I'm using horses to share the message of Christ today, okay? So we're talking about what it means to become a search and rescue person for Jesus Christ, to seek people, to win people to Christ, and I'm using horses, a search and rescue horse, to relate to what we want to become as God's search and rescue people. So my first point is, for a horse to become a good search and rescue horse, he needs to go through that process, because when that horse goes through that process, it turns on his mind. It's a picture of what the Spirit of God does in the heart and a mind of a lost man, okay? When a person truly comes to know Christ, the Spirit of God comes in, and it changes everything about us. It changes our mind. It changes our reactions and all that. But a horse that experienced the hookup has a completely different mindset and confidence than the horse that is never hooked up when it's with its owner. This makes a completely different horse. And when I was a little boy, nobody in this part of the world knew anything about groundwork. They call it groundwork. They call it natural horsemanship. When I was a kid, and I was never a real cowboy, and I'm not a real cowboy now, okay? I don't want you to mislead you in any way, but I do know horses. Back in the olden days, they do what they call buck them out. They just get on them. If you was man enough to hang on and buck him out and get the buck out of him, you could still ride him, but you're still riding an animal that's his brain's not turned on. He's born in that fight or flight mode. They have a double-sided brain. They have a thinking side and a reacting side. And until a person puts that horse in that pen and moves his feet and gets his eye, that horse will always live in the reacting mode. All he'll do is fight or run. He doesn't know how to think. He's not capable of thinking until a person helps him to turn on his brain. And then he hooks up with that person. And that horse that was trying to run over you or trying to jump the fence and run away or whatever, all of a sudden, instantly, when that horse gives you his eye, it's a strange thing. You can kind of walk up there towards him and kind of turn your back. That's horse herd language. When a horse turns his back on another horse, he's giving that horse permission to come into his zone. And you can do that with that horse, and all of a sudden, you'll feel that horse's hot breath coming down your neck. And that horse will come up and basically lay his head on your shoulder, and you can walk away, and that horse will follow you everywhere you go. I love doing figure eights in the pen with a horse that wouldn't even let me touch him before. Okay, it's an amazing thing, and it's a beautiful picture of the gospel. And so when you get a horse that's hooked up to his master, he then has the ability to become a search and rescue horse. And by the way, I use the word become a lot, because folks, we're all still becoming what God wants us to be, and we'll never arrive. We'll never become perfect. I told him in Sunday school, I'm 66 years old, and I'm just now starting to figure things out. Now it's about time to get old and go home to be with the Lord. But life is a growing process for our entire life. Raising horses and training horses, that horse is never going to become any more than what I make him and help him to become. But all of this is a picture of a person. Listen, it's a picture of a person who is truly coming to a relationship with Christ and the person who has not. Let me say that again. This is a picture of a lost man and a picture of a born-again man, okay? Up until I was 24 years old, I was born under the curse of sin and death. I was a lost man. All that I knew was filth and vulgarity and drugs and drinking and violence and all of that, until God put me in his round pen and God began to move my feet by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I gave God my eye and my heart and my life, and it changed my life. And that is the only thing that helps me and qualifies me to even try to become a good search and rescue person for Christ. I'm going to talk quick because I'm going to have you guys out of here by 12:15, because I remember last time I went, I'm very long-winded. I can stand up here all day long. I'll have people falling out on the floors. But I got still a lot of cool things to share with you. This is just introduction, okay, but it's very important. It's also a picture, folks. I've been sharing the gospel for 42 years with people, and I've never once met a person that made a good witness for Christ that had never hooked up with the Lord. And you got to know that you know Jesus Christ, okay? And when life gets tough and things go haywire and all that, you got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know who your Heavenly Father is, and you got to be hooked up. I've never met anyone yet that could become a witness and a search and rescue person for Christ that wasn't confident about their own salvation. You know what I'm saying? Because I've got a lot of flaws. I've got a lot of issues. I'm human. Sometimes I sin against God. I have no strength, no ability of my own to do anything apart from the Spirit of God that I know that lives in me. So I don't care what's going on in my life. I get up every day and I put my focus on my King and my God. And I know who I am positionally in Christ. And that gives me the ability and the authority to go out into the world, no matter what's going on in Rick's heart, and be a witness for Jesus Christ, because I'm hooked up with my Master. Just as a horse is hooked up with his master, has a great trust and confidence in his master. I lost my place there, but anyway, he does. Once that horse hooks up, he begins to trust his master, and he has confidence. Once a horse learns to trust you, he'll do pretty much anything that you ask him to do. I have to gain his trust, and he has to give me his respect so that we can become a team and work and grow together. But it's the perfect picture, listen, of the born-again, spirit-filled man or woman, perfectly capable and willing to carry out the work of God, compared to the unsaved church member who may be sitting next to them. So in other words, for the horse, and I've said this already, the moral of the story is for the horse to become a good search and rescue horse, that hookup is totally necessary. So I just want to use that point today to challenge you in love and ask you, have you truly hooked up with Jesus Christ? Do you really and truly have a peace and a confidence in your life that you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you will never grow. You'll never have peace in your heart. You'll never become what God wants you to be or what you may want to be. A lot of people, they want to do things for God, but they can't because the Spirit of God's not even in them. They're living in their flesh, and they're trying to do things on their own that they can't do on their own. So that's the number one thing with any horse training that I'm going to do. And there may be other ways, but that's the way that I was taught, and I see it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing, and it's all a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So instead of being a hooked-up horse, he's got to be a well-trained horse. You know, I tell my pastor's wife, Miss Wickham in Jacksonville, Rosemary and I call her our mom. Miss Wickham loves our horses and loves us. And I told her one time, I said, Miss Wickham, you know, all these horses you see on the John Wayne movies and all the cowboy movies running down the mountains and doing all this stuff that you see on the cowboy shows. Well, folks, that all of that stuff that those horses do is 100% foreign to what a horse understands in his mind and his heart. So when you see horses on the cowboy shows and they're shooting and they jump off their horse and they run and the horse stands still and these horses do all these things, that horse is only doing that because he's had, number one, he's had his brain turned on and he's had hundreds of hours of professional training. Even for a horse to step up in a horse trailer goes against everything that horse's brain tells him because he's a prey animal. Horses are prey animals. They believe that everything they see is going to eat them for lunch. They're big sissies, really. They're scared to death of everything. So for a horse to even walk up into a horse trailer, it scares them to death. And sometimes my horses will hesitate, little Joe, and they'll all do the same thing. They'll stop, and they'll start sniffing the side of the trailer. I'll say, little Joe, it's the same trailer you've gotten in 500 times. Now let's go, you know. And then she'll step on up in there, and I'll tie her up and shut the door. But a horse has to be well-trained, and we have to be well-trained to be God's search and rescue people. A horse needs to be alert. He needs to be able to detect potential harm and threats to him and his rider. He needs to be able to use all of his senses. When you're on a horse, you can trust that horse. When that horse stops and puts them ears up and looks in a certain direction, he's looking at something. Now, it may be a napkin blowing on the ground, but you can trust your horse. Your horse has good senses, especially out in the woods and things like that. And you've got to have a horse that's really alert and that will take care of you. I've never even ridden a mule that I can remember, but they claim that mules are much more alert than horses. They say that you can ride on those mountains with the 500 feet drop-offs and you'll never fall off. The mule will never fall off, but Rick Lane ain't going to try it to find out. Mules are supposedly more sure-footed and they think a whole lot better. Well, I'll take their word for it, but I'm not going to get up there and find out. And this is crazy, but this is true about any horse, folks, that you're going to ride. He's got to have good feet. There's an old saying, no hoof, no horse. The two most important things with a horse is keeping their feet up and keeping their stomach moving. A lot of people spend thousands of dollars a year on horses that you may as well just pour down the drain or flush down the toilet. If you'll do basic maintenance with horses, keep them groomed, keep them cleaned, and keep their feet trimmed, and it's called pairing out their feet, keep their feet up, and keep their stomach moving, that's really all you need to do for that horse. But if a horse, I don't care how good that horse is, he's got to have good feet. He can be the best horse in the world, but if you let his feet go bad, they get thrush in there, they get white line disease, their hooves can crack apart, fall apart, all kind of things. Even if they eat too much green grass, the lamina in their hooves can turn loose from the hoof walls and they founder. If you look out there and you see a horse standing out there looking weird like this, his feet have foundered. The inside of his feet will literally come apart. And when that happens, there's a muscle that runs up his leg. It's hooked to a thing called a coffin bone, and that bone will come out of the bottom of that horse's foot. And when that happens, you may as well put him down because he'll never get over it. You'll never ride him again. So a horse's feet are very, very important. No hoof, no horse. And I love telling kids that that's a picture of our spiritual heart. You know, the hoof and the foot's a small thing, but it's a very vital and important thing. And our heart, our spiritual heart is the same way. It doesn't matter what I may appear to be, or how spiritually strong I might be or appear to be. It doesn't matter what a person looks like or how they carry themselves. If we have a dirty heart, God can't use us. Okay? And that's something that I have to work on in my life all the time. I've got a, apart from God, I don't have a righteous bone in my body. So I'm always keeping check on my heart. But a horse has got to have good feet, just like we have to have a good heart if we want to be God's search and rescue people. If we got a dirty heart, God can't use us. A good horse knows the voice of his master, and he comes when he's called. I've got three horses right now. I've got two that if I call them, they'll come to me, which is excellent. Okay, that speaks highly for those horses. I've got another one that won't run from me, but she's not going to come to me, but she's not going to run away from me. I made a vow to myself the other day that I will never buy another horse that runs from me. I don't care how good that horse is, if you got to run them down or shake a feed bucket at them and all that kind of stuff to catch them, I don't want nothing to do with them. Okay? So a good search and rescue horse has got to be a horse that knows the voice of his master and comes when he's called, right? That's another picture of us. It's a picture of the gospel. Something I've experienced for years, folks. I haven't answered every call that God's ever called me to do. It's been a long process in my life for me to try to really walk in obedience to the voice of God. But a good horse knows the voice of his master, and he comes when he calls. He's flexible and ready at all times. A search and rescue horse, you know, you may get a call from the sheriff's department at 2 a.m. for a plane crash or something, and that horse has to have that mindset so that you can go out in the dark. You can walk up to him. If he don't come, you can at least walk out there in the dark. Sometimes I have to put on a headlamp, go out there and find a horse out in the woods somewhere. But I can walk up there and put a halter on that horse. And every time I go get one of my horses to go do ministry, as I'm putting the halter on, I'll say, "Little Joe, let's go. The Lord has need of us. Let's go tell some people about Jesus." And they know what I'm talking about. But I'll put the halter on them and go put them in that trailer. So they got to be flexible. They got to be on call 24/7. And ready to go. That's what a good search and rescue horse will do. And he'll trust you and he'll get in that dark trailer and he'll go out into the woods where there may be sirens or blue lights. There may be blood. There may be all kind of stuff. But that horse has got that mindset that he trusts his master and he'll go wherever you ask him to go. And he'll conduct himself like a really good horse. He's got to be well equipped with ropes and first aid and water and radio and all that kind of stuff. A good search and rescue horse. He guards himself and he guards his rider from harm. Like I said, he's always looking out to take care of you. And here's a couple of really key things that for any horse that I'm going to own personally. Any horse that I own, because remember, horses are herd-bound animals. They can't live with one another and they can't live without one another. They fight like pit bulls all day long. They bite one another, kick, they cut. But when you separate them, they go crazy at the same time. But a good horse is an independent thinking horse. I will not own a horse that I can't walk out of my yard and put my hands on, take him up to the house and put a saddle on him and ride out the driveway and down the road and leave the herd without that horse cutting up. Because a lot of horses, when you go get them like that and you saddle them up, they may go to the end of the driveway, and then what they're going to do, they're going to rear up. They're going to rear straight up. Or they're going to start acting stupid and try to run you under a tree or run you through a fence. I won't own a horse like that. I have no use for a horse like that, okay? I want a horse that's an independent thinker, that's hooked up with me, that trusts me, that I can go out there and put my hands on and get on and ride away. Once or twice I've left my driveway and rode from Quitman to Jacksonville, Florida and back on horses. And to do that on a horse, you've got to have a horse that's got a thinking brain and he's got to be independent and willing to leave the herd. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the key things for any of us as Christians to become what God wants us to be and to be the witnesses that God wants us to be, we've got to be independent. You cannot follow the crowd, okay? You can't care what other people think. You've got to be willing to turn your back on the crowd. Just like if a man's going to lead an orchestra, he has to turn his back on the crowd, right, to lead the orchestra. And the same principle is true with you and I. If we want to really become the people that God wants us to be and be useful to God, we have to be willing to be independent and to turn our back on the crowd and go and do what God has called us to do. And I'm not saying that that's an easy thing to do. It takes practice and it takes a lot to do that. But that's what it takes to become a good search and rescue person for Jesus Christ. Okay? You got to think like that horse. It takes that to be a good horse. It takes that to be a good search and rescue person. They also, another key thing with horses is, and I've already kind of touched on this, they can't be barn sour. A lot of horses, all they do is hang out around the barn. It's a picture of people that just hang out around the church, but they don't want to do anything for the Lord. And you take a horse like that and you saddle him up, they'll turn back flips and raise sand and do all kind of stuff because they don't want to leave the barn. They're barn sour. And I don't have no use for a horse like that at all. Especially if you want him to be a search and rescue horse. He has to be the complete opposite of that. He cannot be a herd bound horse or a barn sour horse. He's got to be independent. He's got to be willing to leave the crowd at any time and go do what his master asked him to do. And here is something that I really believe is true. Listen, I believe that every man and woman is created by God with a purpose in life, and I believe that God has created every horse with a purpose in life. And our purpose is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and the purpose of a horse is to serve mankind. So this type of horse, this type of search and rescue horse, he's a horse that has discovered his God-given purpose, and he does it well. He's become everything, or he's becoming everything that God has created him to be. And listen to this. He's the horse that everybody sees and wants to buy. I've got one horse named Quirt Evans. That's an old John Wayne character in a movie called Angel and the Bad Man back in 1947. Every time I go on trail rides and groups of people ride up next to me and want to buy that horse. You know why? Because he sticks out in the crowd. I just got blessed with a horse that I met about 2 years ago that the first time I saw that horse, I said in my heart, I need to own that horse. That horse has got his act together. He stuck out in the crowd. And every time I'd go on trail rides with these people, that horse, he would lead. He was a leader. And he carried himself like a beautiful Tennessee Walker ought to. He held his head high, and he led wherever we would go. And I always had my eye on that horse. And long story short, God blessed me about 6 weeks ago, and those people called me up and gave me that horse. And, you know, and that's a great blessing. But a good horse always sticks out in a crowd. He's not over there bucking. His riders aren't crying and fretting and carrying on. They're riding proud. They feel confident because they're on a really good horse that's discovered his purpose, and he carries himself well. That is what it takes to become a good search and rescue horse. And my main thought, I've already said that that's the kind of man or woman it takes to become God's search and rescue people. You have to think independently. You've got to want to serve God to become a good witness for Jesus Christ. And it will cost you in many ways to do that. I've been sharing the gospel since the night I got saved 42 years ago, and I've been very blessed in a lot of ways, but I'm going to tell you, folks, it hurts to be persecuted. I've never had anybody beat me. I've had a few people I thought were going to beat me, but I have a lot of enemies who do not like me. Members of my own household don't love me and care for me, and that's totally scriptural, simply because I try to be God's man. And I'm not a pushy person. I don't preach at people, nothing like that. I'm a pretty cool, down-to-earth guy, okay? Just old Rick's all I am. But I have a lot of people in my life over the last 42 years that make life kind of tough on me at times simply because they're not in the same frame of mind that I am. They've never hooked up with the Lord. They think that the gospel is foolishness and all that kind of stuff. So when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, it's a whole different ball of wax, okay? He or she is the type of person who has discovered that their God, have discovered their God-given purpose in life. Listen to this, and this is what I just said. They are not afraid nor ashamed to walk in it. And I believe in my heart when I read the scripture that that's God's desire for every single Christian, is to know that you're saved, to be serious. God, you know, we need to take God serious. We need to take the Word of God serious. We need to take our individual lives when we're out there serious. And when we come here, we need to be serious as God's people in this place. And we need to discover what our purpose is in life and not to be ashamed or afraid to let the world know. You know, sometimes I get scared. I'm scared of people because all my life I've seen a lot of people get hurt. I've seen a lot of violence and people scare me. But I do believe that I can say that I've never been ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to get scared, but I've never been ashamed of the gospel. Recently, I was in Jacksonville down on a street corner I go to a lot, and somebody walked right up to me and my friend and took a picture of us, and then they put it on this website in Jacksonville called Only in Duval, Duval County, right? They sent me of a picture, so I pushed the button and so I could see and join the thing. And folks, there was literally hundreds of people on there ripping me to shreds. Unfortunately, where I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, everybody there now is a bunch of perverts. I mean, it's sad. It's crazy. But these people were ripping me to shreds on that post. And you know what it did for just a moment? Put a little bit of fear in me, put a little bit of anxiety in there because I thought, you know what? They know where I'm at. And those people could easily hurt me. But then the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, no, Rick, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and a strong mind. I can't quote that verse just right, but you know which one I'm talking about. And I thought about that. I said, you know what? That's true. And so I went back to the same street corner the next Friday night without one care in the world about worry or fear. I went there with power and with love and with a sound mind and got to share the gospel with a bunch of perverted kids. And I love it. But I can only do that, folks. And listen, I'm bottom of the barrel myself, but I have a great confidence in my salvation, and I have a great confidence in my God and in His ability to work through me, and I have a great confidence and ability in my God-given strengths and gifts and ability to go out there and do what God has called me to do. And so it takes that mindset. You have to develop. You have to be willing to turn your back on life and on the world. And I'll share briefly, in the last 5 years, I've been through a lot of heartache and turmoil, but it has taught me. It has molded me and made me. I have grown probably 15 years worth spiritually through 5 years of heartache and sickness and things like that. I've grown tremendously. But what it has taught me is that the only thing that's important with my life is that I'm willing to turn my back on everything that's precious to Rick Lane and put my focus on what counts for my Lord and Savior, okay? And I'm not perfect at it, but that is my mindset. I want to be like a good search and rescue horse. All right, it's 12:15. I'm going to take 5 more minutes. I want to share something with y'all real quick. I want to look at the other horse very quickly. I'm just going to blow through this and kind of make you laugh. But there's the search and rescue horse. That's a picture of everything that you and I want to become for our Lord and Savior. And then there's what I call a rental horse or a Girl Scout camp horse, okay? I went about 3 years ago, had been instrumental in leading this young lady to Christ, and she came to me one day and she said, "Brother Rick, it's my birthday, will you go out to the beach with me and my family and go horseback riding?" And I'm sitting there thinking, this is money. She's talking, I said, "You're talking about renting a horse?" And she goes, "Yeah." I'm thinking, why do I want to do that? I own 4 horses. I don't need to go pay $100 to ride an old dead horse for an hour. But we went to the beach and we got on these horses and I paid $75 and we rode out of the sand dunes. We turned right, went about 1/4 mile, turned around, came back and got off the horse. But I will say this quickly, that was one of the best $75 I've ever spent because many people in her family now know Jesus Christ because I took the time to go and hang out with those sinners, those lost people. And one of them, her stepdad, is named Dale. Dale's an awesome Christian. And literally, folks, for 2 or 3 years, I finally had to tell him the other day, "Dale, stop." Every time that man sees me, he says, Brother Rick, thank you for telling me about Jesus." I said, "Dale, I don't even know what I said to you." I said, "What did I say? We just went out to lunch. We rode a horse and we went out to lunch." He said, "You told me your story and I could never get away from it." And Dale gave his life to Christ. And there's many people now in Brandy's family who know Jesus Christ because I paid $75 to go ride an old dead horse. But when you get on those type horses, quickly, let me tell you this real quickly. It's a completely different animal with a completely different mindset, and it's a picture of many people who are sitting in the house of God today. They don't have that hookup. They don't have that search and rescue mindset. They're more like a rental horse or a Girl Scout camp horse. All they know how to do is stick their nose in the tail of the horse in front of them and follow them from point A to point B. The only good thing that you can say about those horses is that you can put anybody on their back and they're going to safely take them to point, you know, to that point and turn around and come back. That does say something because you're doing a dangerous thing when you put somebody on the back of a horse. The horse can kill you quick, okay? So I can give them credit for the fact that when you put somebody on, they go out there and they turn around and come. That's a good thing. But other than that, folks, if you ask those type of horses to be a real horse, you ask him to wake up, to come to my house and ride and do what I want to ride, those horses will go completely crazy on you because that's all they know how to do. They basically have no knowledge of their own. They've never discovered their God-given purpose. They're basically brainwashed just to follow the crowd. They've never hooked up with anybody. They don't know anybody's voice but the one that feeds them supper at night. They live and eat to be lazy. He lives according to his own routine and his own schedule, and that's really all he's good for. He knows nothing of being flexible. He's not willing to do anything that he's not comfortable with or to try anything new. He doesn't have an independent bone in his body. He's completely barn sour. He's completely herd bound. And if he's ever taken out of his environment, he's completely worthless. And this is true. This is the mindset of those type of horses. The only thing he's willing to search for is his next bucket of sweet feed. and that's really the way those horses are. And I'm not saying a person is worthless, but that's a worthless horse for much of anything. And when you really stop and think about it, the man and woman that's never really hooked up, they may be in, and I've met people that have been in church for years and years and years, and they do all this stuff, but there's no true relationship there between them and Jesus Christ. They're lost church members. And that's what Jesus said when we were reading about Zacchaeus. He said, "I've come to seek out and to save those who are lost." And folks, that's what we're to do with our lives. We're to leave out of this room today and seek out some lost people to tell them about Christ. But we can't be like that old Girl Scout camp horse, okay? One more verse and I'm done. It's the perfect picture, and I've already said this, of the man or the woman that say they're saved, but in reality he's following his own path and doing his own thing. So I ask you in love today, and I ask myself, we have to examine ourselves. I'll just say it this way, which one of those two horses would you like to be? Okay? Which one would you like to be? Would you like to be, I don't do anything to just for somebody to look at me. But the Bible does say that people should be able to look at our lives and see us doing the work of God. I want that in my life, okay? I want people, when they mention my name, to say, that man loves Jesus, and that man goes out and tells people about Jesus. I want them to be able to speak highly of me, not for my glory, but for God's glory. You know what I'm saying? I want to be like a good search and rescue horse. I really do, with all of my heart. But it takes work for that horse to become that way, and it takes work, and it takes willingness, and it takes a lot of things for a person to get on that path and to have that mindset to work towards becoming that person. And I'll close with this statement, folks. God, I personally do not believe that there's a line of people lined up wanting to serve God. And it's been my experience that anybody that steps up and says, God, I'm like a wild horse. I don't know anything. I'm scared. I'm ignorant. I'm dumb. But I'm willing for you to work in my life and use my life. I don't believe that God would turn down one single person that would come to God and say, God, I want you to use my life. He doesn't do it. He's gonna work in your life. And I've seen that in my life so much over the last 42 years, and especially in the last 20 years. In the last 20 years, and I'm bottom of the barrel, but it's amazing what God has allowed me to do. What's that guy's name? Y'all know who Tucker Carlson is? I'm gonna let something out of the bag that I ain't told nobody. And this sounds crazy, but this is how much confidence that I have in God and my God-given ability. God is working in the life of Tucker Carlson. He's an ex-Fox News guy. They fired him for whatever reason. I'm telling you, every time I see him, and I don't go looking for him, but I've seen him a lot lately on video clips, that man is studying the Bible. And I saw him on a video clip the other day. He says, folks, I grew up a rich kid, and I hated middle-class people, and I hated Christians. He said, but those middle-class people that know the Bible, they're the only people in the world that knows what's going on. God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in that man's life. And on that president speech thing the other day, when Trump was up there doing his thing, when Tucker Carlson came up there, I don't know if anybody heard it, but you know what he said? He started talking about God. And he said, folks, I want to know God. I want to be on God's side. He said, I don't know if I am. I hope I am, but I want to be. And you know what came into my heart yesterday? I don't know how I'm going to do it. I've already been searching for his website. But I'm going to start praying and asking God to give me an audience with Tucker Carlson. And I will get on an airplane and go to wherever he's at and sit down with him, or he can come to me or whatever. But you know what? I believe that God can make that happen. And I believe, I'm confident in God, and I'm confident in what God has done in my life, that if God would allow me to do that, that I could sit down across from that man and share my story with him and lead him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I want to do that. And I'm going to start working. I'm already looking for phone numbers and emails. It would take an act of God for that to happen, but God can do that. And I only shared that. I haven't shared that with anybody, but I'm only telling you, I have the confidence in my heart that God can do it and that He can use me to do it. You know what I'm saying? Just like I have confidence in a good horse, to get on a good horse that's got his head screwed on straight, me and him's hooked up, and we're a team, and we can go do anything that a man and a horse can do. Okay? Does that make sense? That's the kind of people that God wants us to become. And tonight I'm going to be sharing a message. I titled it, It's For You. I'm going to be talking about all the troubles that we go through in life and how in reality everything that we go through, it's for us. Okay? If you're a Christian, if you got your brain turned on, if you got your focus on God, every single thing that we go through, it's for our benefit, and it's to equip us just like you equip a search and rescue horse to go out and do his thing. So I'm going to be sharing that at 6:30 tonight, brother. So anybody that, now do we meet in here, or do we meet in that, back in that other room back there? Okay. Okay. I'm done. At least I didn't go past 12:30. And, thank you guys. And let's, bow for a word of prayer. And if y'all have an invitation, I tell people this all the time, folks. I'm not ashamed to pray with you. If you're not ashamed to pray with me, if you want to give your life to Christ today, I'll be glad to kneel at this altar with anybody and help you to call upon the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible says to do, to put your faith and trust in Christ. And we can kneel right down there and you can invite Christ into your life. That's what I did when I was 24 years old, stoned out of my mind, didn't know nothing about the Word of God, but I found out that Jesus was the Savior and I knew I needed Him. And I bowed down and asked Him to come into my life, and it radically changed my life.
my life. And I will be glad to do that with anybody today if you want me to do that, okay? Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us life. And I just thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes men and women's lives and boys and girls. And God, I give you all the glory. If I've ever done anything good, God, it's because you are doing it through me. I'm just like a dumb animal, like a wild horse that can't do anything of my own, Lord. So thank you, and I pray that your Spirit would anoint this message, that we would think about it, that we would examine our lives and ask ourselves where we are and where we want to be, and that we'll get busy doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.